Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
I'm looking at my people and I just don't think they can get there from here.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Welcome to the show, and once again, we are here because of Courageous Cultures, how to build teams of micro-innovators, problem solvers, and customer advocates. The book is coming out in just a few more weeks here, at the end of July, if you're listening in real time, and it's available for pre-order now, and I want to just give a shout-out and say thank you to everyone who has pre-ordered. We have already hit a number one new release in Amazon, and human resources. And so thank you for your support. If you haven't got your pre-order, you want to do that. And then you want to go over to CourageousCulturesBook.com. And we've got a number of different bonuses there for you, things you can download. There's a quiz, a personal assessment you can take, a lot of other things as well. So CourageousCulturesBook.com, pre-order, go over there. You can get your bonuses. So the woman who said the words that I opened the show with, I'm looking at my people and I just don't think they can get there from here. She was a CEO who was exploring what it would take to build a more courageous culture. And when we're talking about a courageous culture, we're talking about where people make the shift from safe silence to consistent contribution. They're speaking up, they're solving problems, no one hangs back out of reluctance or keeping themselves safe. Everyone's contributing. So she loved the idea of eliminating FOSU, that's fear of speaking up, and encouraging more micro-innovation and problem-solving. But as she mentally inventoried her team, she was concerned that not everyone would be able to contribute great ideas and engage energetically. I mean, let's be real, problem-solving and innovation do come easier for some people than for others. The problem is it's easy to make assumptions and miss people's energy and potential. There are quieter voices that you can amplify and those embryonic ideas that you can nurture. The key is to lead them in the way that they need to become effective team members. And so in this episode, I want to give you some ways that you can help everyone contribute their great ideas. And the bottom line is that as you learn how different people are wired and what energizes them, you can meet them where they are and you can draw greatness from them. That's one of the coolest parts of leadership in my mind. So let's look at several types of people that present a challenge for leaders who want to build a courageous culture. First are the people who we call the silent wounded. They don't trust you, and with good reason. It's not that you've done anything wrong. It's that the three managers who came before you abused their trust, told them, I didn't hire you to think, or they stole their idea and took credit for it. Now you have the same title, and fairly or not, you have all of the negative baggage that comes with it. So your job for the silent wounded is to rebuild their trust. It's going to take some time, but once you've built that trust, these team members can be very loyal. So start small. Ask a courageous question, something that's specific and vulnerable, and receive their answers graciously and with gratitude. Then you can build up to deeper questions and keep focusing on responding well, celebrate people, generously give credit, then ask for more problem solving and ideas to better serve your customers. Start small and build momentum to earn their trust. Then there are the silent ponderous. To draw out the great value that the silent ponderous types of folks can contribute, start by giving them time to think. And in some meetings, I can be a silent ponderous. I know it may not seem like it. Is he silent, really? Sometimes I can be, especially with very extroverted folks who talk over one another. By the time I've got my idea, they're three topics down the road. So if you have silent ponderous on your team, for some meetings, it might mean that you give them the main topic a day or two in advance and give everyone time to think about it. In some settings, you might have everyone write down their ideas first so that they've got time to process and it evens the playing field. Another strategy with silent ponderous types who are not contributing is to emphasize that you are not asking for a 100% accurate answer. Ask them, what's their best thinking at the moment, or what's a range of possibilities or ideas? That gives them permission to explore rather than having to commit to something they haven't thought through yet. And so you may live in the world of possibility and just want them to explore with you, but they're going to try to give you a correct answer unless you tell them you don't want a correct answer, you're just exploring, and will they come explore with you? Then there are the just what I sayers or let me do my thingers. You may have team members who are certain of their direction and their methods. They're successful. They just want people to line up behind them and do what they're told. When you're talking with people like this, it can help to frame the conversation in terms of their goals. If they want to have more responsibility or more influence, these are easy opportunities to talk about the people skills they need to practice and to demonstrate. Or if they want to improve their outcomes, they're going to need people and their ideas. Two points that you can emphasize in your conversations with just do what I say or let me do my thing people are, first, what success looks like in this organization is everyone thinking and contributing. And two, you care about their career and you want them to succeed. And that's why you're having this conversation. What about the just tell me what to doers? There are a couple of types of people who just want to be told what to do. The first group are the silent wounded that we already talked about. They have that you won't fool me again mentality. And if you have a just tell me what to doer who is probably wounded, take time to rebuild their trust with small steps that prove what you mean you'll say. But another type of just tell me what to do people are doing what they know has made them successful in the past. Maybe through school and in many organizations, you can get along very well by just following instructions. So they know how to succeed that way. The challenge for those people is the same for organizations everywhere. The world is changing. Our circumstances have changed. Computers are far more efficient at being told what to do than a person is. So first, you want to have a discussion about the changing nature of work and what it's going to take for your business to thrive. Then reframe what success looks like for their role, that it's not just about following instructions, it's also contributing. So in effect, you're still answering their need to be told what to do, but in a way that asks them to consider the opportunities and problems facing the organization and take responsibility for thinking about those as well. And if you haven't already done so, you want to take time to train people and equip them with the ability to contribute great ideas. You can get more downloads to help with that at CourageousCulturesBook.com. Then there's everyone's favorite, the idea grenadier. These are idea machines. Their brain works overtime and they see the possibilities in every situation. And nearly every team's going to be better off with someone who can creatively look at what's happening and see opportunities to improve or transform. The challenge comes when the idea person tosses all their ideas in your lap, wants you to do them, but won't do the work. These are the idea grenadiers, tossing their ideas like hand grenades and then running in the other direction. When you're working with someone like this, it helps to have a direct conversation and call them back to what matters most, and then ask them to engage. For example, it might look like, hey, I've noticed in the past month you've come to me with four different ideas about how we should improve security, revamp the training program, change our workforce management, and reorganize product management. There is merit in your ideas, and we can't pursue all of them right now. Which of them do you think would help achieve our number one strategic priority? Is that a project you'd be willing to help with? Next, let's talk about the schmoozers. Most organizations have a schmoozer. Everyone likes them. They talk a great game. But when it comes time to get things done, somehow they never implement that plan that sounded so amazing when they first presented it. The challenge for schmoozers is that they undermine trust. Ideas they share lack credibility, and they're less likely to be entrusted with good ideas because they won't implement them. Your best strategy with schmoozers is to ignore the charm and focus on the results. A healthy accountability conversation can help them raise their game and restore their credibility. When you talk with them, be ready for an elegantly worded explanation for why they didn't get it done. But if it happens again, you're going to need to escalate the conversation. For example, so this is the third time we've had this conversation. Your credibility is at stake. What you said sounded wonderful, but if you can't implement it, your team can't rely on you, and neither can I. What can we do to get this on track and completed? The final type of person I want to talk about in this episode is the oxygen sucker. This is the person who sucks all the air out of the room. They talk so much, so loud, or so vehemently that others don't contribute. Oxygen suckers can spark drama that derails a healthy conversation, and they can waste time on tangents. And the oxygen suckers often lack self-awareness, and they don't realize how their behavior affects other people. So it's up to you to facilitate in a way that allows everyone to contribute great ideas. To help your oxygen suckers, you can start with a direct conversation. Privately, explain that you'll run meetings differently and that your goal is to make sure everyone's taking part equitably. And be specific about how you'll do this. For example, hey, in some cases, I'm going to time people's comments to ensure everyone has time to speak. I may ask you to speak after I've asked some of our quieter team members for their perspective. So with all of these challenging people types, your approach and the conversations that you have will give them a chance to take part. And some people will choose not to, despite your effort, and that's okay. But you've invited everybody and you've given everybody a chance to contribute. And if someone just tells you they can't perform at the needed level, or they don't want to adjust their style, thank them for their honesty. Honor their choice. And if it's not an appropriate role for them at this point, if it's vital that they're contributing that way, maybe time to help them with an exit strategy. Either way, you'll have energized your team to contribute great ideas, and you're on your way to building a courageous culture.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
I love answering your questions. It's one of my favorite things to do. And I hope that you will send in your leadership or management related question. You can send that to me at david.dye@letsgrowleaders.com, or you can go to leadershipwithoutlosingyoursoul.com, click the big orange button, and you can record your question there. Tell us your name, where you're from, and your question. I'll look forward to using yours on a future episode. Today's question comes from Allie, and she's following up on a previous episode about making space for important conversations, like the racial equity conversations that are happening in so many organizations right now, or the challenges with remote work, or responding to COVID. There are so many important conversations that need to happen right now. And Allie's question in all of that is, David, how do I keep the team moving forward? I've given everybody a ton of space to deal with all of the challenges we're facing. And if we don't make money, no one's going to have jobs. How do I keep the team moving forward? And Allie, I will tell you, you are not the first person to ask us this question. Over the last few weeks, we have heard this repeatedly from organizational leaders who have created space and who have seen their income decline precipitously during the pandemic and who are looking at the future and saying, okay, something has to change. We have got to get back to business, or we're not going to have jobs for people, much less supply the benefit we're providing our customers. And so what we have shared with them, and Allie, what I want to tell you for your question is that the number one thing you can do is to acknowledge reality and then be very specific about next steps. So what do I mean by acknowledge reality? Call it what it is. Have the meeting, have the conversation, say, listen, folks, the world has been really, really challenging over the last few months. And we have done everything we can to create space because I know that you're struggling. I know that if you're working from home, you've got your kids that you're not accustomed to having to work with. And we've tried to accommodate different schedules and you've got sick parents. And you know, there's just so many challenges that are going on right now. Some of us facing those things for the first time. None of this is easy. And I don't want to underestimate the challenge in all of it. It's difficult. It's emotional work, and it's hard, and I know it's hard. So you start by acknowledging the situation and then move to next steps. The reality is, if we don't find some ways to continue adding value to our customers, if we don't turn the corner and get back to work and doing the things that we need to do, we're not going to be able to provide you the income that you need. We're not going to be able to take care of our clients or customers the way that they need. And so we've got to find a way to continue forward. And I want to do that in a way that is compassionate and that helps all of us survive and thrive during this time. And we've got to keep moving. So I'm open to any ideas that you have in how we can continue to achieve the business results we need to achieve while also creating the space for all of us who are going through difficult circumstances in all the different ways we are. My first thought on how we move forward is this. You want to provide one next step that's very clear and very business focused that's going to feel achievable for everybody. Start rebuilding confidence in their ability to succeed and make forward progress. The world has definitely changed in many, many ways, and it is an upheaval that is good in some respects. These kinds of disruptions create opportunities for all of us to get better, to lead more compassionately, and to find ways to continue to deliver value to our clients and our customers while we also are leading compassionately for the people that we serve. It's going to take everyone's ideas to get there, and that's why it's important to master this skill of helping all of your different types of people to contribute their great ideas. Don't let your assumptions about people limit their contributions. Until next time, be the leader you'd want your boss to be.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.